Hello, Old First Church. It is wonderful to be able to worship with you once again. As you may recall, Pastor Maggie was my liaison as I made it through all of the hoops in preparation for ministry. And on the front of your bulletin this morning, it says the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. That means I have been ordained for 19 Sundays because I was... I was ordained on Pentecost, and that was the last time I saw Maggie. She participated in the service of ordination, and it was the hottest day of the year. And like this wonderful building, we had no air conditioning. Well, we had a little bit of air conditioning, but it certainly didn't keep up with the task. It was, 113 outside. Anyway, I am ordained, I am serving as the chaplain in a hospital in Pleasanton and Livermore, and I love it. It is who God made me to be, and I feel wonderfully blessed to be able to serve in that capacity. Scripture is filled with messages about blessing. In God's call to Abram, later Abraham, we hear, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in all the families of the earth, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Blessed is a desirable state of being, more than happy, more than satisfied, more than fulfilled, more even than peaceful. Blessed is all of this and so much more. Today we are going to look at what the Lord requires of us to be blessed, to be a blessing. The New Testament lesson is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. And we read, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Will you please pray with me? We pause to listen for the beat of your presence in all things, pulsing in the light of distant galaxies, sounding in the depths of our soul, vibrating in each vein of Earth's body. One sound as vast as the universe. One universe filled with presence, one life within every life. Move in us, we pray, that we may sit at your feet Hear and receive your word to us, O God. Amen. I didn't start off life as a chaplain. As an undergraduate, I was a geology student and spent 5 years working in exploration geophysics, looking for oil in the North Slope of Alaska. Geology worked for me, engineering did not. We won't go into that. Geology works because none of us were there when the mountains were raised up and the rivers cut the valleys. So nobody really knows what the exact answer is, whereas in engineering you have to come up with the exact answer. So essentially, geology is this: she who takes the data that we have and comes up with the best story wins. Now, there aren't many rules in geology. One rule is called superposition. It says that if the layer of rock that you're looking at is right side up, then the oldest is on the bottom and the youngest is on the top. That makes sense, right? Because this one was laid down, and then this one came in over it, and then this one. It's kind of like a building a house. First you lay the foundation, then you put up the walls or the stories, and then very last, you put the roof on. It makes sense. There's an order. In our lesson today, Jesus is laying down foundational teaching. These are not just a random list of blessings. Taken together, these foundational blessings provide a framework, or if you will, a rule for life. There's a second rule in geology. It says that the processes that we observe on the earth today are the same ones that were acting when the mountains were raised up and the rivers caused the valleys. It would be really hard to interpret the geologic record if gravity worked different back then than it does today. For example, if mountain ranges fell from the sky. However, that would explain a lot of the Northern California geology. Scripture tells us that God is unchanging as well, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, the character values that Jesus spoke to his listeners some 2,000 plus years ago are the same character values that apply to us today. Jesus taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We've heard this passage before. It's the Beatitudes. It's the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a danger in familiarity. Our brains tend to say, "Oh, I've heard that. I know that." And we stop learning. I invite you today to keep your mind open, to hear with perhaps new ears. For example, hear now how the Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, renders this verse. He says, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and His rule." The word poor can mean to lack. To be financially poor is to lack funds or resources, money. To lack wellness is to be in poor health. When I recognize the lack of God's presence in my life, then I am spiritually poor. And this leads to blessing, because then I can surrender to Jesus. Invite God to move in, to fill me up, to take control, and then I will experience the mystery of blessing. It's the first step to live in an honest relationship where God is in the God place, in the center, on the throne, the one who is in control, and I am where I belong, in the created space. The beloved child, open, emptied of my selfish desire to do things my way. Step two. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This one hits me right where I'm living, because since 2011, we have buried 4 family members. And I'm trained as a chaplain. And so I'm used to working with people who are walking the path of grief. And so my reaction was, well, this will be easy because I know what to expect. But grieving is not an intellectual exercise. To grieve is to feel the feelings. Blessed are those who mourn because they allow themselves to feel the lack of God in their lives. When we grieve that absence, then we are on track and we are blessed. We don't blame others. We don't blame our circumstances. We don't blame religion for the state of our spirit. No, instead we take responsibility for the ways in which we have failed to let God have the God place. And when, as we did this morning, we confess and we grieve that loss, then God comforts and forgives us. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The world says wealth and celebrity status are what you should be after. And the world labels meek people as weak. Yet God calls us blessed and powerful. The word translated here as meek means power submitted. Both power and submitted. A great example of meekness is the Clydesdale horse. Now this horse stands 6 feet at the shoulders. I'm about 5 feet tall. It stands 6 feet at the shoulders and goes up from there. Its hooves are the size of dinner plates. It was used in logging before tractors were invented, and the Clydesdales are still used in places where it's too unsafe for the machinery to go in and log. These are powerful animals, not weak, yet they are meek. As any horse person will tell you, they are gentle giants, willingly submitting their power to the will of the driver. The best example of meek in Scripture is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays, "Not my will, but thine be done." The New Living Translation uses the word humble here. And in God's view, humble, it means living honestly, neither thinking too little nor too much of ourselves, but rather because we are living with things in the right order, God is in the God place, we are in the created space. So why do the meek get to inherit the earth? They're the only ones God can trust not to mess it up. The meek will care for God's good creation according to God's plans, because they are fully submitted to God's authority. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. There is a blessing that comes from longing, hungering after righteousness, not being satisfied with yesterday's holiness, but longing, hungering for God to carve more of his character into our lives. Yes, to even prune away, which allows for new growth. And in this we will be filled. God does indeed answer the prayer for more of him. We begin by knowing our lack of righteousness and in grieving that loss, God pours into us an understanding of what breaks God's heart. We become aware or attuned to the justice and the righteousness of God. Jesus is not merely trying to tell the disciples this is how he or she must live, but rather these are the foundation stones for the building of God's community. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. There is no perfect justice in this life. Therefore, there must be mercy. Life is not fair. Justice this side of heaven is not perfect. And God's community will be one in which there is both justice and there is mercy. Living within the character value of mercy means living with the capacity to allow others to matter to us. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see God. Purity means genuineness, integrity, on the inside and out. What comes out of my mouth will line up with my values and my faith. As a community, what we say and what we do will line up with our faith. Last week, I was driving on the freeway, and this big old truck cut in front of me when there was really not enough room for his bulk. And I must confess that my first instinct was to give him the one-finger peace sign. But instead, at that wonderful moment, pure in heart went running through my mind. Got me, God. And I chose not to return evil for evil. Certainly, I do not condone rude drivers, but my rude actions would not have altered his driving. And maybe he had something else on his mind. Maybe there is more going on than I understand. I am grateful that he didn't hit me. The guy behind me didn't rear-end me as I slammed on my brakes. And it's a memory at this point. I didn't have to meet him. The blessing that is promised in this step is rich. They will see God. Those who dare to live consistent, the community that dares to walk consistent with their faith and values, will come to see God in the face of the homeless person. They will see God in safe drinking water. They will see God in the marginalized people. They will see God and be moved. As Eugene Peterson writes, "You are blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are you when you know how to cooperate, how to speak so people will listen, and how to listen so people feel heard and valued. Blessed are you when you face confrontation with love and mercy. Blessed are you when you bring wisdom into conflict resolution. But how, Jesus? How are we to be peacemakers in a world torn apart by war, ravaged by violence? God has told us, O best beloved, what he requires. Begin by emptying yourselves of self and selfish desires. Become aware, grieve and feel the lack of God within ourselves. Recognize it and cry out to God. Humble ourselves before God, thinking neither too little nor too much, that we are his creation and his community. Embrace the hunger and the longing in our soul for the righteousness of God, and let our hearts break for the things that break God's heart. And since justice is not perfect in this broken world, extend mercy. Make choices such that our actions line up with our beliefs, and genuineness rules our life as a community. Then our actions and our prayers can bring about peace. Peacemakers, this is what it means to be the children beloved of God. Layer upon layer, Each blessing in this sequence builds upon the prior one until there is a solid foundation upon which a community of faith can be built, can grow, and upon which lives can be changed and relationships with our loving God and Jesus Christ can be lived out. Hallelujah. Well, that's not the end of the story. There was that last verse that talked about persecution, right? It's there. If we could all just work for peace, well, then the world would be as one. But we live in a broken world. The world is not going to celebrate our journey. In fact, Jesus says we will be persecuted for our efforts. The Message renders this verse, "You are blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me." What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer, even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. All heaven applauds. It matters how we live. And Scripture gives us this rule for life, guides us as we grow in our relationship with God. Whether you've walked with Him for a season or a lifetime, we're never holy enough to stop growing closer to God. Amen.